Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, Cody Barbo, CEO, co-founder of Trust and Will, trustandwill.com. If you listen to the show, you know that when I can, I try to find things that I can, how do I put this in a nice way, that I can take advantage of, that I can leverage for my own personal gain. This is no different, although it would be in the afterlife. Trust and Will is digitization is a good way to put it, of the will and the trust process, which if you're a millennial, you're like, what? Yeah, you'll die someday. And there's this like really, really long, old, antiquated process of a contract, which basically tells all of your family and friends what you would like to do with not only you, the remains, but also your assets. And your assets can and should include digital, which is could be crypto if you're one of those, but also like your social media handles and your iCloud, all your photos, all your things, to say nothing of your assets, your house, your investments. If you have a child, how is that going to be dictated? Who's going to care for the child? These are all questions that about a year ago had no meaning whatsoever to me. If I had died a year ago, I would have willed my mom and dad my PS3 and maybe my login info for my social handle. That's about all I had. Now I have a child on the way, and so let's just say it matters. I have a lot of experience in contracts. And I still don't want to do a will. I still don't want to deal with it. I still don't want to pay a lawyer to screw around with it. And so we reached out to Cody from Trust and Will to see, you know, how is he making money? One, but how is he making a company that serves a millennial audience that kind of sort of doesn't even know what they need yet? And maybe part of them don't want to engage in this, not just because they don't know they need it or they don't fear anything, but also because the process is so antiquated that it's like, ugh, it's a headache. I'll defer until I really need to. To say nothing of the fact that they're saddled with millions of dollars of student, well, billions of dollars of student loan debt, and they're having kids and houses even later in life as a result. That notwithstanding, it is a huge, huge, huge industry. The estate planning industry is like $170 billion. And Trust and Will's got a really interesting way to take care of it. And so I actually am going to use it myself, assuming that wife Jen says, okay. They have been so kind as to offer all of you guys and myself a $10 off promo code at just use Technori and save some money and, you know, maybe save yourself and your family a ton of headaches if and when you ever pass. So before we get into the conversation with Cody, we are going to check the startup inbox. The startup inbox is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing and true automation by signing up with ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months free. We use ActiveCampaign. I switched from the other big CRM company you know of to go to ActiveCampaign because it was just simpler, it's cheaper, it's better. So I think you'll get a kick out of that. What do we got here in the startup inbox? Passion for building my startup, Jimmy Wilcox. I just added the Jimmy. He was Jim Wilcox, so if you don't like Jimmy, I'm sorry. But regardless, you're being read on the air, so that's cool. Do I need to be passionate about the problem I'm solving before I start my business, or is it possible to develop the drive after I've launched? Ironic. That's the word that I use like five times. I try not to use the same word too often, but I have in this episode. We launched this episode literally talking about the fact that Cody was solving a problem that he had and his family and friends had internally when he got married and had a child. And so that led to, you know, having the passion to build this because he innately knew the problems because he went through them himself. So let's dive into this for a quick second. I mean, there are staunch side, pick a side people who say, if you don't solve your own problem first, like you'll never understand the pain point. I often say that, but I don't necessarily believe it. I think that you can find your skill set aligns with a problem set that exists in any industry, and you can be effective, and you can ultimately be incredibly successful. And that doesn't mean that because you don't have an extreme passion for what you're solving, that you're not passionate about something else that is an itch being scratched by the process of success. So, you know, am I incredibly passionate about tech and startups? Obviously, yeah. Are there things I'm more passionate about? Yeah. Because I'm in this industry, do I have a predisposition for knowing the pain points? Yes. So yes, I think if you are passionate before you get to the problem, you probably have an advantage and you might be able to work a little later in the night because of it, because you're fueled by it. But I think a big mistake being made here is that because I wasn't a user before I created this that I couldn't possibly understand it and could never grow from it. And that's false. What if you're just obsessive about creating value? What if you're obsessive about making a technology piece more optimized for success? What if your obsession is scaling a company? And it doesn't necessarily matter what the product is. So I think that if your obsession is with the process of building, maintaining, and scaling a company, you can build anything. Now, if you don't have any knowledge of how to scale a company, but you're super fucking passionate, I don't think that's really that great. So I would say, like, in the scale of success, passionate about the product and the process is a, you know, going to be hard to take this person down. Interested, but not necessarily passionate about the problem, but super passionate about the process of success, still great. Not very skilled, but super passionate, kind of useless. I'm just going to say. So I think, you know, that didn't really answer it, but I kind of like walked around it. I think that passion certainly helps, but it does not necessarily mean that you cannot be successful developing whatever the hell it is you want. That said, as your kind of end of your comment, you said, is it possible to develop the drive after the fact? Yes, it totally is. I got into the startup community thing with one idea and became completely obsessed with something completely tangential. And that's what pushes me now. So you absolutely can dive into something you didn't know that much about and then find yourself obsessed. And then you're the best, right? You're most passionate and for the process and for the product, which is great. So ultimately, I think you can do it. Okay, let's go to the podcast. This is my interview with Cody Barbo, CEO of Trust and Will. So I'll be remiss to not mention this show is with a San Diegan. My producer who set this up, Sam, is from San Diego. He hails from San Diego and is always very excited anytime he can connect me to somebody who's from San Diego and be like, oh, dude, see, like, San Diego's great. And I'm like, I know that. Like, I had family who lived in San Diego. I love San Diego, but I have to mention the San Diego connection. And then the other thing that I thought was really funny as we get started in the show is so I'm not in my normal studio. I'm in this like little booth studio at WGN. And I walked in and I had like, I obviously knew that I was having a show with Trust and Will, but I walked in and every single poster on here is a deceased person. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, the sweet irony. It's all like musicians. So it's like Prince and Kurt Cobain. And then they had the Joker and Batman, like all these people, they're all dead. And I was like, if ever I needed a reminder, the importance of a Trust and Will, that would suit. And then there's the fact that I have a child on the way. So like, it's all coming together right here, San Diego and Cody Barbo all in one shot. So I guess, you know, there's no better way to roll into this kind of topic, I think, than just literally diving into it. I think, you know, I want to learn about your company and how you guys digitize the process, but I also think that there's like a deeper conversation here around the fact that, you know, I don't know how old you are, but like I'm 34 going on 35. Our generation and younger just don't, like, they don't know how to fill out a check, let alone a will or like what to trust. Like 3 years ago, if I filled out a trust, the only thing I could have given you was like a PS3. Like I don't have anything to give you.
Right.
You know, so I think maybe that's why they haven't like former generations not buying houses as quickly, not having kids as quickly, don't have nothing but debt basically. And so there's been this sort of like disconnect. Like where previous generations like kind of were forced to learn, you know, whether their parents died or whatever, they were forced to learn about having a trust and a will and the impact and the importance of it. And I think it's interesting that there's this gap and you potentially could serve it. And it's a, you know, a gigantic business. Everybody dies, right? So like there's a huge opportunity here. So tell me a little bit about, you know, your knowledge and interest in getting into this kind of a business. And then we'll go from there.
Awesome. Yeah. So the background to Trust and Will, I've been a serial entrepreneur and it's my third startup, but in the summer of 2017, I'm a few months out from my wedding. My wife and I, or fiance at the time, we sit down, we kind of have the adulting conversation. We're like, hey, we got to set up a joint bank account. We got to set up life insurance. We got to set up a will because we didn't have any of this stuff. And you know, being a millennial and being a digital first consumer, I have an app for anything. And like when I was looking at one of the ones that I use every year, TurboTax, I was like, how is there not a TurboTax for estate planning? You have offline attorneys that, to your point, are way too expensive, or for somebody just entering these big life events for the first time, you know, PS3 example, or just digital assets like your social media, cryptocurrency, whatever. I don't need a full-on estate plan. So how can I basically unbundle it and have something that suits my needs today in the early stages of my family journey, but as I continue to grow my family and my wealth portfolio over time, I can move upstream into a higher tiered product that, you know, fits my lifestyle at that point. And I was just blown away that nothing like this existed. So just kind of sat on it. And my co-founder, Daniel, was a good friend of mine. He went really leaned into the digital asset piece. This is peak cryptocurrency 2017. You know, the hypothetical, he gets hit by a bus, what happens to the crypto? Same extended to his social media, his photos, his iCloud, his Gmail. So we just took a full step back and spent 2 months just researching estate planning as an industry. And the data points were fascinating to us. Half of all adults don't have an estate plan. It's this $170 billion industry. And it has nothing to do with wealth or age. It's like generationally, it's almost unfortunate that 40% of boomers still don't have an estate plan, 50% of Gen X, and 80% of millennials. And to your point earlier about millennials maybe not having anything, well, you got to remember, half of us are now 30 to 40. We are entering these times in our lives where we're having kids at record rates. 90% of children born are to millennial parents. And even homes, almost 50% of homes purchased now are by millennials. So those would be the two biggest inciting incidents for people to actually take their first steps into setting up an estate plan. And we felt that the market wasn't serving all demographics, let alone our own. And that was the reason or the impetus for wanting to start Trust and Well.
So similar to just about any other business you've been in or started, obviously you're, you know, serial entrepreneur, the question that kind of comes up from my end is how do you educate? How do you get these individuals to understand the need of a will and that sort of thing? Because I feel like many other generations, they were sort of slowly led down the aisle, so to speak, of like, what is next? What comes next? When do I need it? How do I feel like the pain point if I don't get it? Because if you're young, you think you're going to live forever. And then,
totally. You
know, you don't. But by the time that happens, you don't, like, it's too late. You can't go back and figure it out. So, like, what were the pieces that you guys did? You know, then I also wanted like, dive into, like, the actual building of this product. But, like, how did you decide we are going to be able to convince our target demographic that they need this?
Yeah, it's parents. I mean, if we're targeting any demographic the hardest, it's parents with minor children. Yep. And it is regardless, again, of wealth, if you own a home or not. It's if something were to happen to you, you've appointed legal guardians for those children. And that, like, you talk to anybody that's set up an estate plan almost across the board, that's the number one reason. Some people, it's the purchase of a large asset. Some people, it's a death in the family or an inheritance, some sort of financial trigger. But kids has the strongest emotional connection to actually getting parents to go and do this, whether it is offline with an attorney or an online solution like Trust and Well. So we lean in really heavy on our branding and marketing to really get the product out there in front of parents. And we've unbundled the estate plan. You go to any estate plan attorney, they're going to try and sell you on a trust-based estate plan, a revocable trust most commonly. And I don't think consumers even really know what a trust is. So when we came to market, we launched with the will because people either know what it is from their own family or they've known what it is through pop culture, TVs, movies.
Yep.
But we're like, how can we take that even one step further? Because a will still has to accommodate for property, life insurance, financial assets, final wishes. If a parent only cares about their kid, they don't care about that other crap. How do we create something just for them? So we launched a brand new product in January, a first of its kind called Guardian. And Guardian is just that. It's the simplest way to nominate legal guardians for your kids. But we've made it one thing, you can get it done in less than 5 minutes, but two, we've made it upgradable. So as we continue to educate our consumers with what the value and benefits of an estate plan are, a will versus a trust, they can upgrade into the will package. They can upgrade into our trust-based estate plan. And I just think that we have a really strong pulse on the branding and marketing, mostly because our entire team is older millennials. Yep. And half of us are parents and married. So we're almost selfishly building the products for ourselves as well.
Which makes a lot of sense. I mean, as you well know, like, yeah, most of the good companies come out of people who solve a problem that they had themselves because obviously they care the most. You know, I guess walk me through a little bit on like how I onboard with this. Like, so I'm married now, I have a child on the way.
Yep.
How do I get signed up? What do I do?
Yeah, great question. So go to trustandwell.com. You can get started for free. One of the things that was really important to us is that we make the whole experience very approachable and more importantly, affordable. Estate planning can be very expensive for a lot of people. And our mission is to help everyone leave a legacy. So we wanted to unbundle the estate plan, almost like cupcakes instead of selling the whole cake, and give people these product offerings that meet their specific life situation. So when you come to Trust and Well, there's a couple things that you can do to get started. The first is obviously browse through our site. You can browse through our product specific pages, but we have a compare or a quiz, almost is a better way to phrase it, where you basically select a couple different boxes. If you have kids, if you own property, if you're trying to plan for your future, and that kind of funnels you into one of the three products. On the entry point, to what I kind of communicated earlier, we have our Guardians product, which is the quickest, easiest way for parents to appoint guardians. It's $39 for an individual. It's $49 for a couple, start to finish in 5 minutes. The second product would be our will-based estate plan, which has a couple of documents. It's the last will and testament, HIPAA authorization, a living will, essentially, you know, who gets your property, who gets your finances, who looks after your kids if something were to happen, and what your final wishes would be. Do you want to be buried, cremated? Do you want to be, we have some wild people that
turned into a diamond.
Bizarre features. Yeah, it turned into a diamond. It's surprisingly a common one. And then an ecopod, where you basically get put into a seed and rebirthed as a tree. So that's the will. And the will is $69 for an individual, $129 for a couple. That one takes about 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how granular you want to get with your information. And then our top tier product is the trust. So it's a revocable trust. So a trust is a series of documents. But before I kind of walk through those briefly, one of the things that is important to communicate about a trust is that it provides protection from probate court. So if you were to die, or when you die, if you have a will or if you don't have a will, your assets have to be probated. And in popular states like California, where we're based, or Texas, New York, even in Illinois probably, it can take up to a year longer. And the courts, you know, generally will fall in line with what you requested in your documents. But it's oftentimes, unfortunately, where people's families get torn apart. Someone says, hey, I took care of grandma in the last few months more than you ever would have, or hey, I was there for her when you were away at school. And it's messy. And a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth with estate planning, a lot of older people, because of that reason. So a trust can provide that protection because it basically bypasses probate. So a trust is a little more complex. You have a revocable living trust, which includes a schedule of assets, a pour over will, HIPAA authorization, a living will. And these terms may not mean anything to the everyday consumer, but what I love about our product is whether you're going through the trust, will, or even guardians, we're only ever putting one question in front of you at a time. So it's very much like a TurboTax. We never want to overwhelm our customers. We make it incredibly easy to get through step by step. We have two things that I want to comment. The first is like a FAQ, which if you have any need to understand what is being asked of you, we have a little slide up from the bottom that explains it. But more importantly, we have live customer support 24/7. So there's a little blue dot in the bottom right of our site. It pings our team. So there's a real person, oftentimes our attorney, Patrick Hicks, who's jumping in and answering any questions that you have and really getting you from start to finish with that trust in anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, a little bit longer because a little more information is required. But everything's done online. And then once you're completed with either the trust, the will, or even our guardian document, the documents still have to be printed. The law is still a little bit archaic. So you have to do a wet signature, an in-person notary, or witness signatures. And that's what makes it legally valid. But the coolest thing that is happening in estate planning, one of the reasons why we started the company, is that the regulatory landscape is starting to change. So we actually completed in January the first electronic will in the United States history. So what that means is that, okay, our product experience was digital. And then instead of having to download the docs to do the wet signature, in-person notary, we worked with an amazing startup, a partner out of Boston called Notarize that does digital notary. So it essentially kicks you into a FaceTime call with a notary.
Yep, we know them. I've worked with them. Very, very cool company.
Oh, yeah, Notarize. Yep. They're great. Yeah, so digital signature, digital notary, digital storage of documents. That's the future of estate planning. More states will activate that this year and beyond. And that's my overview.
So I want to dive into some of the future stuff here because you started the show talking about crypto a little bit. To get into crypto, but blockchain in general, I think that I'm pretty sure I know that there's going to be an application for this where, you know, we're still stuck in this like weird purgatory where there's an analog person and a digital person. And the analog person is very easily to be screwed with. You can take a picture of their birth certificate or social security number in a photo ID, and with like minimal Photoshop skills, I can become you. In a blockchain world with a digital personality, that can't happen. And the idea, or at least it's very hard to make that happen. So the idea being that a person could quite literally have a smart contract for what they wish to be their end of life terms and who is in charge of blah, 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 blah. And that sort of follows with them and is updated as they update it. But like, it can't be screwed with. There's no debate. And I think that is like, from a business standpoint, I think that's obviously probably where you guys are headed with the digital will. But I actually think even bigger than that is like this deeper conversation, which you guys are in the driver's seat for, which is the trust part of this. This is where you can jump in anytime if you feel like I'm on the wrong page here. But, you know, I feel like I'm experiencing it now firsthand in our own family with my grandmother being, you know, getting up in age, mm-hmm. and the parents are starting to like fight back and forth as to how to care. And undoubtedly, the end is going to be the same way that you described, which is just chaos. And I think that this, so, and this is like, talk about going on a down a rabbit hole here, but I think that the social media, me too, me first, me everything kind of movement we're in, where all things lead back to me and the selfie of me doing it, is only going to make the idea of probate almost unlivable. The idea of people not having predetermined set things that have to happen and fire exactly in accordance to what I wrote in law. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos, and people have money in crypto, and someone knew about it and someone else didn't, and someone had actual money in a Robinhood account, and then their money and their salary and their savings and retirement, their house, their kid, all this stuff scattered all over hell. And only certain people know where the other person's stuff is. And undoubtedly, it's going to become messier than ever before without a trust. And I think you guys taking the reins on the digital conversation, as well as this is the proper way to structure your stuff, I think is a huge piece of this.
Yeah, you're thinking 100% in the lane that we are swimming in currently. So for this year, introducing blockchain and smart contracts into our tech stack is on the near-term roadmap. So specifically, it's for tracking ownership and changes over time, right? So adding layers of identity verification, not just for the person creating the documents, but when those documents are updated. And then additionally, for the individuals named in the doc, so whether it's a trustee, an executor, a guardian, having them be included in this experience, even in the lightest touch way, they're just a part of a dashboard that educates them on the role and responsibility. And even after death, you know, we're talking about the transition of assets, whether it is property or whether it is your money or whether it is your crypto, having a direct line of communication with that person with as much transparency as possible. There's no room for error. And it's a really frustrating thing to see is how much elder abuse takes place in the estate planning industry today. It's either people, it's family members, right? The kids or grandkids.
Caretakers.
Or it's caretakers. Yep. And you're basically, to your point earlier, you're forcing people in, you're fabricating documents, all of it happens offline, so there's no record of it whatsoever. And when it's finally in probate court, it's unfortunate that they only have what they can go off of, which might be the last version of the document that was fully executed, but no clue if that was actually the person that set it up, signed it, or if it was fabricated. So, yeah, we believe that the future of estate planning is absolutely digital, and transparency and security is our top priority. So you don't really have these issues that most people deal with, unfortunately. Today.
Isn't it just crazy the amount of shit people will do to be able to get a buck? Like, the things people will say in order to make or steal, in some cases, a dollar, blow my mind at this stage, but it does. And it's so funny you bring this up, like the in-person versus digital. This is why the crypto blockchain conversation, particularly among millennials, is so rampant, even though crypto right now is on the rise again, but like, even though it's far, far down from where it was at its craze, the transparency conversation, I really think, is like going to be, if anything can save this country with our leadership, it is going to be the transparency piece. I think I like this point, I almost distrust in person versus digital, like having a notary there via video. It's like the exact opposite of what you would think, but like, I actually would be much more trusting of a completely, anonymous third party person who just like screens into the camera and like checks it out and is like, yep, I was there, rather than some sort of convoluted, yeah, like, well, we had these two people in the room and you just have to take their word for it.
I know. Well, this is like the crazy part. So even like the witness signature component, like we had, I had a friend who obviously she had used Trust and Well to set up her estate plan for her husband and her. And with the, she's like, who do I get for the witnesses? And I said, well, I mean, technically it can be anybody. It doesn't have to be people, you know? So she like found two people like on the streets, like in her neighborhood. They were like, hey, like I need you to be witnesses, which I'm like, what the heck is that? That is the weirdest thing to me. How can you not add these layers of security into this experience with an all digital format? Like, that's the future of estate planning. That's the future we're building towards, at least. And that's why Notarize was such a great partner to work with on rolling out that electronic will, is that I wasn't even, like, when I look at the customer, but I wasn't even setting my estate plan up in Nevada, the state that we rolled out in. And I was like, man, what a great experience, because that video is recorded, that session's recorded, and essentially stored in the cloud in perpetuity. So if it ever came up in probate, that would be used as evidence. It's the same way with looking at the smart contract element.
That's why I'm saying transparency wise, like, this is going to sound weird. I don't mean it to, but a video of this is the same thing with like Snapchat and everything else, like every sort of social media piece. Say what you want about the distraction, and I harp on it all the time about people just sitting there scrolling all day, but they leave, and also like the misuse of data. That's a whole other thing. They leave digital breadcrumbs that tell the truth. And we have gotten to a place, and it's funny, it's actually kind of ironic, because social media, I think, plays just as big a role of starting this problem as it does perhaps saving it, is that we got into this like this me first thing where we started posting the best versions of ourselves online. And so it's like, you could just say anything. You could make up anything you want. You could be anyone you want to be. But the reality is, you now leave digital, you always did, but now we know it. You leave digital footprints everywhere. So the truth is actually there. You actually weren't here. You actually weren't with this person. You weren't where you said you were. This is a picture of you and a timestamp and data from behind the thing. Like, there's just so much. When you add in the element of Notarize, what happens is there's a picture of, in this case, perhaps an elderly, you know, person who very clearly on the video does not seem competent or with it at all. And so immediately I can be like, I can't prove or disprove that this clearly was signed, but there's no question that you need to be looking into the validity of this person's state of mind. And if you just have two random people, you can argue all day long and it's one person's word versus another. And that's why I just think that this stuff is, you know, more important than ever, I think, is the trust and will piece of this. I think we've got to get, it's like reverse engineering. I'll start with the end of life and work my way back to my birth rather than starting at birth.
Yep.
Okay. So I want to end on one more kind of note here with this. Let's play psychology for a second. You've been through a little bit, a lot of people with this sort of situation. How do you recommend people initiate this conversation, whether it's with immediate spouse or loved ones or whomever, to try to set themselves up for success rather than either springing this thing on them and just be like, oh, I decided to do a will today or a test, you know, trust. And all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, where do I fall in the mix? How do you recommend someone actually get started with this? What are your tips for success?
Yeah, I think, you know, I really emphasize, I lean in towards parents most specifically, because you now have this young child that's more important than you, if we're being honest, right? Is you have to be selfless in the situation. And if
that's
you're responsible enough to, right. I mean, if you're responsible enough to purchase a home, to have financials, to have investments, to have a life, if you're setting up life insurance, let me really pinpoint. If you're setting up life insurance, you damn straight better start thinking about estate planning. They're so parallel to each other. And it's interesting. I find that parents, like, if I really dig in on the exact moment that they actually go and do this, it's not right after their kid was born. It's usually they're about to go on their first trip without their child and leave the kid with grandma, grandpa, or a family friend. And that's when they'll force themselves into doing something. And it doesn't have to be, you shouldn't have to force yourself into setting up an estate plan. I think the perception of estate planning is that it's expensive, it's time consuming, it's antiquated. And we've completely flipped the script. We have made Trust and Well the easiest, most approachable, most affordable software out there for the everyday person to get started and have that peace of mind. So I would say more than anything, the conversation you want to warm up is really that estate planning shouldn't be about death. It should be an act of love. And if you think about your family and you have that like adulting conversation with someone in your life that you would name in these documents to look after your kids or to be the trustee or to be the executor, you know, you can warm this up in a way that doesn't have to indicate that something's wrong with your health and that you're on the decline. And I think that's our goal as a company from now and in perpetuity is how do we completely reshape perceptions and have estate planning be a positive experience that people feel confident that they set this up in their younger days as a parent and these younger years in life versus waiting to do it until they're in their 60s or 70s or older.
I'm going to add the humorous spin to the back of this, but it's totally true. If you are having a hard time having a conversation about where your goods and will and all of your assets are going to go with your significant right. others, run. You already right. have a problem and it's not your end of days. Like you need, that's like a great, and it's true. Like I have tons of friends, especially in the entrepreneur world where they're like, you literally go from like penniless to a millionaire and it happens all the time. And you meet this person and you're with them and it's like, oh yeah, you know, like you were good with the struggle. And then all of a sudden I'm coming into wealth and we're planning a family. And I'm like, listen, I want to protect, you know, some of the assets that I've built, whether because we haven't been together long enough or because you weren't there when I built it, or I want to give it to my family, or I want to invest it in other shit, like whatever. If the number of people who get married, then have this conversation, which is mind blowing that it's after, but then have this conversation only to find that person is just like, what? Is just crazy. And I just want to recommend to people that you have this conversation before any major life events. And that if the individuals you're talking to act a little sketchy, you may want to consider that before you put their name and have notarized go on the camera screen. Just
right.
a thought.
Yeah, we had fun. We actually, I appreciate you sharing that. We just launched our new commercial last week called Do It For Me. And it's a super cute little kid. Her goldfish dies and she's thinking about death. And she basically says to her parents who are sitting on the couch next to her, hey, like if you die, who do I live with? Who do I end up with? And we have these five different scenarios of her with these ridiculous guardians or caretakers. Super fun way to flip the script on, you know, an uncomfortable topic. So we're really happy with how it turned out.
Very cool. Well, listen, Cody, this was great. I love the product. I will mention this in the intro that you guys are offering up a promo. Like I said, I'm about to have a kid, so I think this is a great way for me to test the product out myself and give this a whirl. If you guys do the notarized version, that would be even better.
Yeah, so notarized, that experience is live in the state of Nevada. We'll see a few more states go live this year, and there's proposed legislation in a few more states. The goal, I think realistically over the next like 3 to 5 years, we'll see this roll out nationwide. It's inevitable. Every industry is heading digital. Estate planning just seems to be one of the last to go digital. But that's the future of this industry.
If there was ever an excuse to tell my wife to move us to Vegas, that would be the one. Listen, we're going to die.
I'll meet you out there.
Take care of it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Cody. I really appreciate you taking the time for the show.
Of course. It was a pleasure.
And where do people go real quick before you head out to sign up?
Yeah. So go to Trust and Will, trustandwill.com. And if you're a listener of Technori, we went ahead and activated $10 off. So if you put in Technori at the checkout screen, go ahead and get that discount.
Great. Thank you so much. And of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and Spotify and stay connected. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.